Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last hour, we find out that if you're an NFL guard, you can get paid too. Gabe Jackson with a 5-year extension. What was the price on that again?
$56 million
for an interior lineman.
Wow, that's a good payday for him.
Good living if you can find it. I've always said, if you're going to have a son, make sure he's as big as a house and still moves like a gazelle. Look at that. Gabe Jackson, good for him. You know, we talked to him during Super Bowl week when we were hanging out on Radio Row. Really, really nice guy. I liked him an awful lot. And drinks on Gabe tonight. I wonder if we're going to see churches going after Gabe Jackson the way that they went after Derek Carr. I thought this was an interesting article that I saw the other day. BabylonBee.com. Have you ever heard of that before?
I have not
heard of the BabylonBee.com, but I saw this on Twitters. And basically, Derek Carr, 5 years, $125 million, and he used the word tithe during his press conference. For those of you who don't know, tithing is when someone takes a percentage of their income, right. Usually, I think it was like 10%.
Yes, in some churches.
Yeah. 10% of their income, and it goes automatically to the congregation. Mm-hmm. Or not the congregation, but
to the church. Yeah,
to the church. So, you know, Derek Carr is a very religious kind of guy, and I guess he's going to be tithing his 5-year, $125 million, I'm now the highest paid player in NFL history contract to the church that he grew up in, the church that he belongs to now. I'm really not sure. And since I guess a lot of people aren't sure, the story goes that Oakland's church scene is buzzing after Derek Carr became the highest paid player in NFL history and then announced his intention to tithe on his mega payday, as the story reads. Last week, a reporter asked Carr about his spending priorities, and he joked about, first thing I'm going to do is go to Chick-fil-A.
You know? I did a blog on this, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go get some McNuggets.
Get a chicken sandwich.
Someone said the bee is satire like the onion. This is a satire? Because I don't believe it.
Well, I think the Mercury News had a similar article as well, talking about Oakland churches looking for interest in Derek Carr's charity.
Well,
so
look at it this way. Even if this were total satire, there's always a little truth to satire. But I can tell you right now that local pastors, according to this story, have been aggressively recruiting him ever since. And I believe that.
Well, you don't hear an NFL athlete and one that makes that kind of money just openly say, I'm gonna tithe. I'm going to put money towards my church and my faith every month. I mean, that's very cool. Very cool of them.
That would certainly...
And spark an interest and...
Perk up people's ears. Someone says it's the Christian version of the onion. Did I just get duped?
No, it's on mercurynews.com as well.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Mercury News, I'm glad you brought it up. Today, I saw the announcement that Mark Purdy is going to be hanging up his shingle.
Really?
He's going to be retiring a little bit later on this summer. I'll say this about Mark Purdy, and we are efforting him for next week. I'm glad you are, because when I was, well, I'm still an absolute nobody, but when I was a real absolute nobody here in the Bay, just moved out here. We're talking late 90s. Before I moved back to work for ESPN, before I came back here in 2005.
Oh, this was the first San Francisco
The first
spin.
Version. This is
1.0.
Damon Bruce 1.0. Mark Purdy was a guy who was very nice to the new kid on the block. And then when I came back in 2005, I remembered him, and he was nice enough to remember me. You know, he went to Northwestern, so we would talk Big Ten, whatever.
Cool.
Mark Purdy is one of the nicest guys in the Bay Area media, and he will be missed when he's gone. Total San Jose honk. And if you're listening, Mark, you know that's the truth. But I like Mark an awful lot. One of the nicer guys in all the media. He's always got a warm and friendly smile, always a hey, hello, always a question or two about the latest Indiana Northwestern football or basketball game. He finally got over this year with Northwestern going to the NCAA tournament. It was a very big moment. I remember even congratulating him. I'm like, Mark, it's happened. It's amazing.
Oh, he's been with the Mercury News for a long, long time.
He's been with the Mercury News since the creation of Inc.
It's a really long I think since the 80s, truthfully. That's not when Inc. was created, but since he was with them.
He's a great guy, and I tell you, he's a good writer, and he will be missed. And he's one of those dudes that really gave you a world view. He's been to so many Olympics. He's been to every Super Bowl. Goes to World Series, covers things that other people might not even be interested in. And I've always liked Mark an awful lot. And let me tell you, there aren't a lot of guys when they duck out in the from the press box that you're going to miss them.
Sure.
He'll be one, though. And he even said in his article, the last thing he ever wanted to become is a cranky sports writer. And he feels like he's on the verge of becoming a cranky sports writer. So he's going to get out while he's still happy about
things.
Now's
the time. Well, good for him.
Look at it this way. There's a lot of guys that go down in flames humping their cranky sports writer. What's really weird is you've got like 25-year-olds just getting into the industry who come in as cranky sports writers.
You have to earn the right to be cranky.
Seriously.
You can't just come on in and be grumpy.
Yeah, you gotta.
No.
File stories at a deadline for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
Again, if you start cranky, you're going to end up what? Is like a mass murderer?
Yikes.
You're going to be crazy. Anyway, I will miss Mark when he's gone, and I do look forward to talking to him. How about this? Who gives the San Jose Sharks more love or attention than Mark Purdy? With him leaving, there is going to be even less information about them. That's why we will be bringing you the Donska Scar.
Jonas Donska!
God, that makes my throat hurt.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I love it. That should be my new ringtone. Imagine if that you're anytime you got a call from someone, it was like,
Jonas Donska!
Excuse me, everyone. I have to take this call. Right in the middle of a meeting, you're being bored to death by a PowerPoint presentation. All of a sudden, your wife wants to make sure that you bring home a gallon of milk tonight, and then
Jonas Donska!
God, what if someone called you in like the middle of the night? That would suck.
Oh,
with that ringtone?
You'd wake up thinking about lamps. Boom. Someone scored. Who was that someone?
Jonas Donskoy!
It's a lot of Captain Caveman in there. It really, really is. David Forrest is going to join us at 4:30. We compiled a little list of GMs and what an interesting character study all the GMs, past and present, here in the Bay Area make. And then we came up with this list. And I think this list will certainly be open to debate. We tried to come up with for Billy Beane, Brian Sabian, Bob Myers, Reggie McKenzie, John Lynch, Trent Baalke, David Forrest, Bobby Evans, and Doug Wilson what their best and worst moves were. Tell me if you agree with this or not. Billy Beane's best move, creating the big three. Mulder, Hudson, Zito.
Yeah.
Mulder, Hudson, Zito. Biggest miss? Probably the Lester for Cespedes trade or Josh Donaldson for a bag of peanuts, really. One signaled the end of that team's competitive nature. Cespedes, they traded their leadoff hitter, but I get why they did it. Like, I still cannot crush him for doing that because I understand why he did it. And oh, by the way, I watched John Lester help the Cubs win a World Series.
True.
Johnny Lester.
But do you agree with Donaldson?
No, because that felt like the beginning of the end. You could say maybe Cespedes was the beginning of the end, but the Donaldson trade, that was the nail in the coffin. That was the real nail in the coffin right there. Because you could say that since the A's lost that wild card game in Kansas City, they haven't been competitive since. Haven't really fielded a winning, interesting team since. You know, it's like, hey, but Marcus Semien's really crushing it. But that was, you know, so right. What? Biggest move for Brian Sabian? Signing Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy has been the steady hand on the rudder ever since the Giants became very significant, and he's still the steady hand on the rudder, even as they kind of crashed the ship. But signing Bruce Bochy was a cultural turn for the Giants. Lincecum, Posey, you know, there's so many good players that he added. You go back and even say Brian Sabian's biggest move came when he was an assistant GM with the Yankees, and he said, hey, you should sign this Jeter guy. There's a lot of guys who could categorize a big miss, a lot of contracts that are kind of dying on the vine. But I think I got to go with signing Aaron Rowan, if nothing else, because he looked like he was on the potty whenever he was in the on-deck circle and the batter's box. Aaron Rowan didn't work out. Like all the, oh, he broke his nose hustling in Philadelphia. You didn't get much of that here. Aaron Rowan hustled so hard here, he pulled a hamstring or a quad. Yeah, it was 5 years, $62 million for Aaron Rowan. 5 years, $62 million. Bob Myers, the biggest move, signing Kevin Durant. There's no doubt about it. Biggest miss? I mean, even the biggest misses haven't really hurt the team. You could say that drafting Nedovich and really getting nothing from him ever, or say Kevon Looney hasn't done much, okay. Or Damian Jones hasn't done anything yet, but boy, I think his situation is changing an awful lot next year. Bob Myers, there's almost no criticism you can offer up to the guy. You're really nitpicking at that point, but signing Durant is obviously the move of all moves. Reggie McKenzie, biggest move? Derek Carr. With all due respect to Khalil Mack, drafting Derek Carr after every team in the NFL passed on him, Raiders included, come back and got him in the second round, and this guy is in the top five of all the quarterbacks in the league now. Of who would you like today, and who would you like for the next 5 years?
That says something.
It really does. So Derek Carr is the best move Reggie McKenzie's ever made. He's made a lot of other good moves, too. The biggest miss? Well, like his entire 2014 free agency class. That was Maurice Jones-Drew, Justin Tuck, and Lamar Woodley. Ugh. Like, Maurice Jones-Drew was a better interview than he was an athlete at that point in his career. Justin Tuck, he tried. Can we say that?
Hey, like, for effort.
Justin Tuck, and he was trying to wave. Who was that? It was like, Was it Alden Smith and C.O. Moore? Who was? I can't remember. I think C.O. Moore was it when they were doing a 12-step handshake behind the Chiefs' line of scrimmage while the Chiefs were running a play. That was maybe his highlight. The Justin Tuck highlight was trying to get two guys on sides. Lamar Woodley, I have literally no memories of Lamar Woodley other than he played for the Raiders, didn't he? Someone says here, Damon, come on. Bob Myers' biggest move was drafting the big three. Well, Steph Curry's part of the big three, and Bob Myers did not draft him. But if you're saying that Draymond Green in the second round, yeah, that's the best draft pick he's made. Klay Thompson? Certainly went, you know. But look at it this way. Barnes, Azeli, Draymond, that was a good draft, but two guys aren't even here anymore. The guy that remains, he won Defensive Player of the Year. John Lynch's biggest move, he hasn't had many, so we really don't have a lot to count here, but trading down one spot to fleece the Chicago Bears, who could have stuck right where they were to draft Mitch Trubisky, is like tradecraft. It's like spy work. It's incredible. Duped the Chicago Bears.
He certainly made an impression.
Sent me to the hospital. That's why I stroked out right there.
That was the day.
Biggest miss? Again, he hadn't even done enough, so we don't know what the biggest miss is other than the fact that they really haven't addressed the quarterback position. But if you want to get all your team lined up before you get your quarterback, like, okay, I get it. They're poised to win at most 5 games this year. The Niners are going to have another really long year. They're going to be a little bit better, but they're going to lose. How about this? They'll lose by a narrower margin, but they're going to lose nonetheless. Trent Baalke, biggest move, hiring Jim Harbaugh. Biggest miss, firing Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, there are a lot of players and draft picks that didn't work out, but Harbaugh was literally the credibility that the team had and vanished all in one breath. We got David Forst coming up in just a little bit. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to straight up ask him what his best and worst moves have been, just off the top of his head. We'll see if he cops to it. He might, because he's so laid back and we enjoy talking to him. But here's what I got so far. The biggest move is trading two nobodies, Jacob Nottingham and Bubba Derby, for Chris Davis. Like, Chris Davis hit 40 home runs last year. I got out of nowhere.
Solid.
Biggest miss, Matt Joyce, Rajay Davis, Trevor Plouffe. Nah. Hasn't really worked out. Bobby Evans. What's Bobby Evans' biggest move? It's tough because they haven't won a World Series since Bobby Evans took over. Well, I guess he did it in 2014, but that was still Sabian pulling all the triggers and making. Like, the buck still stopped at Sabian's desk, right? Someone said for Reggie, wouldn't you call DJ Hayden at 12 the worst? He was bad. But, you know, DJ Hayden also, for a minute there, played a little, he was okay at times. Like, you know, like, the guy played long enough to where, like, how about that? DJ Hayden was better for the Raiders than Maurice Jones-Drew was. Or you could say the fact that DJ Hayden was out there was worse than the Raiders. It's debatable. It's debatable. Bobby Evans' biggest move has been signing Johnny Cueto. I think that that's it. Biggest miss? Maybe trading Adam Duvall for Mike Leake. Duvall's got 56 home runs in his last 251 games with the Cincinnati Reds. But who saw that coming? Who saw that coming? And I still understand why they made the move for Mike Leake when they did. Didn't work out. Not his fault. You could say, what about the Matt Morris situation? Matt Morris. You know, Moore. Sorry. Both of them have been so exciting. I just blur them together now. Stroke. Doug Wilson. Biggest move for Doug Wilson, Marco Strum and Wayne Primeau get Brad Stewart shipped to Boston for a guy named Jumbo. Adding Joe Thornton was a big deal for the Sharks. There's no doubt about it. Biggest miss, firing one of the Sutter brothers, Daryl Sutter. 2 Stanley Cups with L.A. But what are you going to do? You know, was it really him or was he just in a good position? Jumbo Joe, without a doubt. Interesting track records, interesting resumes with all these guys out here. If you wrote a book, well, first of all, someone did write a book about Billy Beane. Brian Sabian has had books written about his success, but not really him. Bob Myers is a book waiting to happen, and maybe another movie about Midas Touch ready to go. Reg McKenzie, if he were a book, he'd be a mystery. We still don't really know much about him. He keeps it all in-house. He doesn't like talking to the media. John Lynch, that's a book in progress. It's still being written. David Forst, he'd be on the sale rack because that's just kind of how the A's do business. But we love David. And if David had the money to throw it a baseball equation that the Giants did, I tell you what, I think the A's would be a playoff team real fast. Bobby Evans, the book is still out, being written. Doug Wilson's book never ends. It's like the never-ending story. Just keeps on going and going and going. He's got job security in perpetuity. By the way, I got pairs of Oysterfest tickets.
What?
Oysterfest. We talked about oysters being an aphrodisiac.
Among other foods.
We actually did a podcast on this that is officially not safe for work. I don't think we should have too many kids in the room when we're listening to this podcast. Gianna gets very saucy.
I get saucy.
Very saucy.
Okay. If you're a regular listener, you know how this podcast went.
I think I also talked a little bit about licking ice cream off of Albie.
Yeah, you did. You did. You did.
It was an interesting.
But yeah, sometimes topics come up and we can't dive as deep as we want to in them, such as oysters being an aphrodisiac, among other foods, we found out.
I just don't believe in foods being an aphrodisiac. It's just, you know, it's a release of dopamine, basically. And you get a release of dopamine when you play Tetris, if you're really into Tetris.
Well, we discuss in depth in the podcast,
which is all posted at 7 o'clock. By the way, Tetris is all about making sure this thing fits into that thing, which if you think about it, that could really turn you on, right?
Pretty similar.
Damon, doesn't Gianna deserve honorable mention as a GM for her first-round selection in the fruit and snack drafts?
Are you still bringing up the blueberry? Wow.
Was it blueberry?
Blueberry.
Yeah, it was like a
I thought
it was
acacia. I stand by my pick.
First pick in the all-time fruit draft, you took blueberry.
Yes. Again, well-rounded.
No, blueberry was waiting.
No.
Blueberry would have been left in the green room.
Blueberry was my Draymond Green. Draymond.
Yeah, like you could have gotten him in the second round.
No. He was turned out to be incredible. Good draft pick.
By the way, so my wife and I went to a farmer's market and we did get like a big bucket of blueberries.
Thank you.
And they're really good.
What fruit would you rather have before a blueberry?
A pluot.
Well, that's not really something that would go first in the draft, Damon.
It'd go first in my draft.
No, then that's a horrible pick.
The pluot is the juiciest, most delicious
nobody knows
fruit I have ever seen.
But it's the performance of the pluot is not that common. Not everybody knows what it is or eats one. But a blueberry, it is nature's candy. It's like right up there with the cherry.
I would say that a booberry? From the old Frankencrunch. Like it was like an old cereal. Count Chocula, Frankenberry, had the booberries in it. I've spent more time in my life eating booberries than I have blueberries.
That's a cereal?
Which is, by the way, why I had a stroke.
Well, there you go. Had you been eating the blueberries,
which was
the first fruit in the draft.
You like an oyster? You wanted an oyster? You like a little concert? You like hanging out in Golden Gate Park? I've got 3 pairs of Oyster Fest tickets to give away right now. 888-957-9570. Callers number 2, 4, and 6.
Whoa.
2, 4, and 6. You're going to go get some oysters. Damon, pluots are great, but orange crushes all. See, I would say I'd rather drink my orange than eat my orange.
I agree. Now, a cutie, we can talk.
Oh, those are really good.
Those are delicious.
Those are really good.
I could get my kid to eat a ton of those. He'll just plow through cuties. I'm a cutie for my cutie.
I remember when I used to plow through cuties. But that was before I was married. Thank you. And by the way, there was no plowing. I tilled the field. I tilled the field just a little. Sowed the seeds
and
hoped the crops came up. 888-957-9570. That's your number. We got an awful lot to talk about today. And next, we've got David Forst, Oakland A's GM, here on 95.7 The Game.
I got you again, huh? Not to get super wonky on you, huh? I've always said hitting home runs is a good thing. I don't know if you knew that. A new ballpark would be a significant step. He said Chapman's the best third baseman he's ever seen.
Can we play prospect Rorschach test?
Huh?
Now, here's A's general manager, David Forst.
Oh, yeah, he gets his own sexy intro now. Because that's how much we like David. I love David Forst, by the way, driven by the all-new Premier Kia of Newark, online at premierkiaofnewark.com. What's going on, David? How are you?
You threw me off with the mashup. I wasn't sure I was on the right station.
No, you are. By the way, can you recognize that song?
The song, I don't know.
It was Better Save That Money.
Just a coincidence?
Just a total coincidence. There was no subliminal message there of any kind. You know, we were talking earlier with Gianna about her fruit choices. We had a fruit draft, and she took blueberries number one overall. I got a guy here saying pineapple is the greatest fruit of all time. Look, it tastes delicious, but in terms of edibility, no. No way at all. It's the pineapple easy to eat, so that disqualifies it. You have the very first pick in the all-time fruit draft. What is your pick, David?
I knew you were going to put me on the spot about something today. I'm sorry to hear about your opinion on pineapple, because that's pretty high up on my draft board. Strawberry, watermelon. I'm a little stumped here, Damon. I prepared for our game today, but... but I'm going to have to get back to you on the fruit draft.
Okay, you know, here's how general managers don't want to make a bad pick. So he wants to do his research. He wants to probably do the sabermetric on fruit to see how it, you know, what fruit has the best WAR, and he'll get back to us next week. David, it's not every day you hit 5 home runs and lose.
Yeah,
a little tough right there, huh?
Yeah, that's what happens in that park against the best team in the league. Anything can happen. We did swing the bats well, but they're a pretty good lineup.
Got a nice youth infusion going on right now. We got a lot of guys hitting their first home runs, tasting their first experiences. We've been talking about Franklin Barreto for what, 2 years now? Now we finally get to see him. Are you happy with the early returns?
Well, you and I talked a week ago about the difference in this team at home versus on the road, and you know, we put together a 4-2 road trip. Unfortunately, the two losses came at the end, but it was exciting to see the way the team responded in Chicago and went out there and had 3 really good games, 3 good starting pitching performances, and you know, particularly the Saturday game was an incredibly memorable one with Olsen, Barreto, and Brugman all hitting their first home run.
Yeah, it was great.
And just you could almost feel kind of through the TV the vibe in the dugout and how excited everybody was. So it's been fun to watch the last week.
You know, we talked an awful lot about Draymond Green and Bob Myers, who yesterday had a dueling co-press conference, and you could see they had an amazing relationship, almost father figure type of relationship in life coach. And the NBA and basketball lends itself to a different type of relationship than I think any baseball GM would have with a baseball player. I'm going to guess that you don't throw a lot of bullpens, don't have a lot of games of catches with your guys. But, you know, when a young guy comes up, would you call his hotel room? Hey, how are things going? Do you have a formula to make a guy feel comfortable? Or is it kind of like, welcome to the show, kid. Good luck.
Well, we're certainly not just sending him out there blindly. And I think every kid who comes up, every player is a little different. The relationship is different. You know, obviously the majority of it falls on Bob because he's down there with these guys all the time. And, you know, I know he talks with the minor league people a lot to make sure he knows these kids before they come up. But, yeah, there's a certain amount that myself or Billy does when someone's new here to, you know, make sure they understand, you know, why they're here and what the expectations are. It's funny you ask about calling players. The last call I made was to Matt Chapman in the hospital last week.
No, so, how's he doing, by the way?
He's doing great. He's been here 2 days working out. He's going to be on the field tomorrow taking BP and fielding ground balls. But there's a player who, you know, we've known Matt for years since we drafted him, but he gets here for 4 days, all of a sudden finds himself in the hospital. And, yeah, you make that call to make sure he's doing all right and knows that obviously we're aware of the situation and just want to make sure he's taken care of.
Hey.
So I've seen a lot about Bob's relationship with the Warriors, and like you said, that game lends itself a little bit more to a more intimate relationship. I know Bob's out there shooting with these guys, and there's only 12 of them, so it's a little different, but you want to make sure that these young kids feel comfortable.
Talking with David Force, general manager of the Oakland A's, here on 95.7 The Game. So every single time Yonder Alonso appears on my show, he gets hurt. I'm so sorry. How's he doing today after taking the ball off the knee?
He was walking around better by the end of the game, and the swelling had gone down. He got a lot of treatment during the course of the game, and it sounded like he was moving better. We'll see what happens after the flight. These things have a tendency to blow up a little bit when you fly home, but I think we're hopeful for tomorrow, and if not, maybe just another day. But we dodged a little bit of bullet because that thing smoked him right on the inside of the knee.
Seriously, it's got to be one of the most painful things you can do to yourself at the plate right there.
Yeah, Yeah, it looked bad, and yeah, he will not be coming on your show anytime soon.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And honestly, we understand. What the show I do hope that he gets to is that All-Star game. I really do. You made the in-house, officially homer of him lobby last week, and I'm guessing you stand by everything still.
Without a doubt, yeah, it would be great to see him there. It would mean a lot to him. It would be great for us and the A's. And he, last time we checked, obviously he was behind in the voting, but my guess is he's got a lot of support from the players, their votes, and I know MLB has the chance to add, a few players afterwards, and I would imagine through one of those avenues we're going to get him to Miami.
How tough is it to DFA a guy that you have an awful lot of respect for, Stephen Vogt?
That was a hard one. I talked about it a little bit, publicly when we did it, but that's a guy who represented, a lot of good times here. You know, his walk-off against Detroit is one of the, iconic moments of the last 15 years here. So it was difficult. Steven handled it really well. I think I said publicly, Bob and I actually spoke to him before the game that night, so he was aware of what was coming, and he's found a spot in Milwaukee, so we wish him the best of luck there.
Production versus youth movement. What was the reason?
It was a combination of Steven was struggling both offensively and throwing the ball. And, I actually said to him, unfortunately, there's a guy who plays your position who's ready to go. And it was time for Bruce to get a chance. And Bruce played great on this road trip. I know he got 10 hits. He threw out a couple runners. So we just felt like it was time for Bruce to get a chance to play every day.
Marcus Semien starting rehab tomorrow. What do you expect from him? What kind of projection do you hope to make?
Yeah, he's been out actually with Stockton for about 5 games now. He's going to fly to Nashville tomorrow and hook up with them for about a week. And we'd love to see him in that Seattle series before the break if everything goes well. But he looked like himself. I went down to San Jose to see him play on Monday night. He swung the bat well. He's ready to go in the field. So we expect him to jump right back in where he left off last year.
AJ Puck going to the Futures game.
Yeah, AJ's had an incredible first half. He had a rough start at Midland last time out, but earned the promotion to AA, and is one of those hopefully fast track guys. So it'll be a great showcase, and fans across the country will get a peek at him before he keeps on moving up.
We were talking earlier in the show how someone should really write a book about Bay Area GMs. What an interesting group and cast of characters and different personalities that we've had out here for really long over a decade. I really think that Billy Bean, I kind of compared him to like Wolfgang Puck. He sort of made being a GM a celebrity chef. Like, we didn't talk about GMs before Billy Bean and Moneyball very often, and he launched a movement where guys like, I'm dying to be a GM. I'd love to be a GM one day, and everybody in fantasy baseball and all that happens. And we were talking about best moves and worst moves. Billy, Brian, Bob Myers, Reggie McKenzie, John Lynch, Trent Baalke, Bobby Evans, Doug Wilson. David, what's the best decision you've made so far as Oakland A's GM?
So we're talking in the last couple of years. Well, we've made...
Can I give you mine, what I thought it was? Here's what we decided.
I'd love to hear yours. That'll help me out. What you got?
Trading Jacob Nottingham and Bubba Derby for Chris Davis.
Yeah, that was a good one. I would have had that right up there. I still like the return we got for Reddick and Rich last year, but I was going to say probably signing Rich Hill was probably the best one overall. As good as Rich was and the value we got for him and then turning him into 3 pitchers. But certainly Chris Davis is the one that's still paying dividends. And we spent basically an entire offseason on the phone with Milwaukee trying to come up with some deal that worked. And the fact that we ended up getting Chris out of them was a huge win for us. He's been great.
By the way, one of the most jarring texts of all time is when I saw that blister. you signed Rich Hill, but you got the blister for free. Isn't that nice?
Exactly.
Okay, since we're having a nice little honest conversation, not to put anybody in an awkward situation, biggest miss?
Well, that one's t- tougher, not because there aren't misses, but because they obviously involve players, and I don't. It's probably not fair to any player to call someone out because ultimately the miss is ours in the front office and not theirs, but they have to be attached to it. So we can take that question off air.
Fair enough. By the way, just so you know, we did our research. We almost blamed Country Breakfast on you. We almost did, but that is not your fault. Didn't charge you to the room. That was the other guy. As always, we really enjoy talking to you. Good luck with Alonzo in the All-Star game and Puck in the Futures game. We hope that he goes for sure. Today's the last day to vote, right? Hashtag vote Alonzo.
Exactly. Everybody can vote 5 more times today, and I guess we'll get the results on Sunday. I think that's when they announce the teams.
David, thanks as always, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, Damon. Talk to you next week.
David Forst, A's GM, here on 95.7 The Game. Very, very interesting. Good to talk with him. Biggest and best moves of GMs, biggest and worst misses of GMs. 888-957-9570 here on The Damon Bruce Show.
They have a pedigree, and none of them are playing to that. And that's, for me, that's where I'd get upset about it. You can't just come out and hope. Hope is not a strategy.
Into the gap. Right center field. Hernandez will score easily all the way to the wall. And Spann's digging for 3. A stand-up triple.
Well, back here at AT&T Park, a long ball game, 14 innings, Giants win it.
Well, and a good performance out of Matt Cain, a quality start. He went 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, but 8 shutout innings for the Giants bullpen. I mean, they were spectacular.
Spectacular.
On the ground and a base hit. And here comes Gorkys Hernandez. And here's the throw home. And this game is... Denard Spann comes through, and the Giants win it here in the 14th.
일단 정말 한 경기라도 뛰고 싶어서 미국에 건너왔는데 또 이제 그게 오늘 이루어져서 정말 너무 기분 좋고.
You know, my dream was to play just one big league game and that was it. So for me to have hit the game winning home run is unreal.
좀 기뻐.
누가 아니래 You know what biz at 오늘의 DJ 나는 철이 너는 me Ay, 아가씨 아가씨 난 순결한 지영씨 이리 와봐요 귀요미 네 남자친구는 지몸이 너 맞지 다 맞지 내 이상형 속에 미소 김태기와 김미소 Oh my god 전지현
Why so serious?
You want to go down a rabbit hole? Go ahead and Google Korean pop music.
I know, right?
It is insane. You should see what we were going through today and listening to today. Is those as another Brian Ratto special, by the way. Great job. But it is Korean pop music is crazy.
I liked it.
I kind of do, too.
That
it's
was
a weird
pretty
thing.
Fun.
It's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
So is that from just a random artist or?
I don't know who it's from.
I kind of want to look it up. I want to keep it.
Like I said, if
it's
you
a good
go,
workout song.
You want to go down the rabbit hole, you enjoy yourself. To me, this is, you want some Korean pop? How about this? Home Wong. Great, great debut for the young man. Fantastic. I tell you, I've never quite understood. Never quite understood why the Giants weren't the Pacific Rim leader in Asian baseball talent. Like, how anybody beat them to Ichiro? How I just don't understand it. When you look at the cultural chemistry of San Francisco, the ability to then have people buying your product overseas en masse, let me tell you, there is absolutely no coincidence that the Golden State Warriors are going back to China for an exhibition game this year. That didn't happen by accident. You know, they're sending teams to London. They're sending teams to China. Yeah, the Warriors, they're going to pick China every single time. By the way, so might Klay Thompson. You see him balling out, just having a grand old time.
Some moves.
The spin move is incredible that he just throws down behind that DJ booth. The text line is incredible. This is, by the way, brought to you by the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Mike in San Jose says, K-pop, man, jump into it. The music videos are even crazier. Yeah, that's why I said, if you want to go down the K-pop rabbit hole, YouTube that.
There's some sexy dance moves.
Oh, there
happening
are.
Happening on those.
They're very sexy dance
moves. Wow.
Someone's like, Damon, search pineapple pen. Oh, we have. I know pineapple pen very, very well. Have you guys heard Pineapple Pen? Are we allowed to play this? Can we play Pineapple Pen? Would you please on YouTube search Pineapple Pen? You've never heard anything. There it comes. Just turn it up.
I have a pen. I have an apple. Apple pen. I have a pen. I have pineapple.
That's happening.
That's what that's from.
This is actually a thing that happened. You got to see the way he's dressed.
No, I'm looking it up. I remember people referring to pen, pineapple, pineapple pen.
It's amazing.
I had no idea.
It's amazing. I'm surprised we didn't see this Halloween costume all over the place with people shoving pens into apples. Pineapples. By the way, this is like the second long pineapple conversation that we've had on the show today, just totally randomly. Today's show brought to you by Dole.
Pineapples are delicious. Sometimes if you eat too many, I don't know what it is in there, but it makes your lips feel kind of funky.
Really?
After a while. Yeah. You don't have that issue?
I never had pineapple side effect.
Okay. When I was pregnant with my son, I had the worst morning sickness. It was one of the only things I could eat for like 5 months. I'm not kidding. I plowed through a ton of pineapple.
Really?
And I would always get this weird feeling on my lips after
too
I ate
it. Too much acid? Is it too much
there's
acid?
There's something in it. It's the same thing that's in, I think, papaya. I was having this conversation with someone the other day. Nevertheless, pineapple's good. Won't go number one in the fruit draft, but
no.
Top 10.
Based on edibility. I mean, you need a tool to get into a pineapple.
Yeah, you can buy one. I have one at home.
No, but I'm saying you just can't start like biting a pineapple. It's like a coconut. I love coconut, but you got to work hard to get in there.
That's a lot of work. Not as bad as a pineapple, but yes, Damon, you need a tool.
More reaction. K-pop goes hard, D. Bruce.
I'm in.
And I'm black. That's an actual text.
Well, there's an endorsement.
So there you go. The community is now endorsing the K-pop. Another person, Chris in Oakland, says, do not go down that K-pop hole. It's a deep hole.
Apparently, they have experience with that.
It's nuts. You will absolutely waste a full hour of your life that you'll never get back if you go down that hole. I can promise you that. You know, we were talking about GMs an awful lot. We talked to David Force this hour. You're more than welcome to weigh in on best moves, worst moves. It has been a symphony of decisions around here. Many have worked, many have not. It's always very, very different. Very, very different mixed reactions. Steve Alford, by the way, is the head coach at UCLA. Put a lot of players in the draft, played against players that are not played against, but coached against players that the Warriors drafted, and is the father of one player that the Warriors are taking to Vegas for Summer League. Bryce Alford is Steve Alford's son and had a hell of a year down at UCLA. We'll talk to him, and oh, by the way, you've been warned in advance, Steve Alford is maybe the greatest living Hoosier, so I will probably bring that up at some point.
You don't say.
It might happen coming up here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.